The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 16. Please turn to page 98 of the New Testament in the Korean Bible. It's Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 16. Allow me to read the words of God. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Amen. There is a term called the social facilitation phenomenon. It refers to a phenomenon in which our behaviors change efficiently just from the fact that we are next to someone. This is a phenomenon which Norman Triplett, a psychology professor at Indiana University, had found in 1897. Upon finding out that a cyclist rides faster when riding and competing with several others rather than when riding alone. This phenomenon is often also called the audience effect, in the sense that one performs much better when other people are watching or are beside the performer. The social facilitation phenomenon can be commonly seen around us. Students studying at a cafe or at a library, even though they have their own study rooms, is another example of the social facilitation. Studying together with other people helps them focus better than when they study alone. Also, when we try to solve an easy problem or play a simple game, for example, spot the difference puzzle, or hidden object puzzle, or find the Lord's Prayer through newspaper articles, people perform better when they play the game in a team than when they play solo. Even when watching a comedy show or a variety show, people tend to laugh more often and harder when they watch it with other people than when they watch it alone. Sometimes you'd laugh watching other people laugh. Some people even grab onto and shake other people next to them while they laugh. Also, athletes perform so much better when they play in a stadium full of people rooting and cheering for them, rather than in an empty stadium. That is why football or baseball teams show higher winning rates on a home match than on an away match. This also has to do with the social facilitation. Of course, there are times when the outcomes are total opposite from the social facilitation phenomenon. This refers to the phenomenon when one performs badly when someone is watching them. This is called the social inhibition phenomenon. For example, an inexperienced driver would drive a bit more relaxed when alone, but when someone, say his or her boss, sits in the passenger seat, he or she would feel extremely nervous and either quick start a car or make a sudden stop. So, social facilitation occurs to things that are simple and familiar. While on the other hand, social inhibition occurs to things that are not familiar and requires creativity. It's very helpful to our life of faith that someone is together with us. We can be an encouragement and a stepping stone for each other. And thus, spiritual facilitation phenomenon can occur. It was in 605 BC when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonian Empire first attacked Jerusalem, which was 19 years before he destroyed Jerusalem in 586 BC. That year, in 605 BC, the Babylonian Empire and Egypt fought in a big war in Carchemish, near the border of nowadays Syria and Turkey, which is about 700 kilometers north to Jerusalem and Israel. And in that war, Egypt utterly defeated. At that time, Judah was on the Egypt side. The Babylonian Empire used its victory as a momentum, invading Judah over and made it Babylon's subject nation. After Nebuchadnezzar had invaded Judah, he had taken many captives with him back to Babylon, and among them were Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had a dream. He summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed about, not even giving a hint to them about what he dreamed of, and asked them to interpret it. The astrologers told him that this was not something a man can handle, but only God can. But Nebuchadnezzar was stubborn. All wise men were on the verge of death because of this. And then Daniel stepped up to tell the king what his dream was about, and even interpreted it for him. Nebuchadnezzar later built an enormous image of gold. It was 60 cubits, which is almost 27.36 meters high, and 6 cubits, or 2.73 meters wide. The image was set up on the plain of Dura, and Nebuchadnezzar made all officials from central government, as well as from other provinces in the country, to come and fall down and worship the image. He made a new law that if anyone denied to do so, that person will be thrown into a blazing furnace. As soon as the music cued them to bow, many people fell down and worshipped the image of gold. However, there were people who did not bow down, and there were those who told the king about this. Let us look at Daniel chapter 3, verse 12. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. They made it an issue that the reason why Daniel's friends did not bow down before the image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar had made was not only because of religious reasons, but because of political reasons as well. They had accused them of treason, for not falling down and worshipping the image of gold image was good as not submitting to the authority of the king that made the image. To this, Nebuchadnezzar summoned for Daniel's friends and warned them for the last time. Let us look at Daniel chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, If you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? It seems here that Nebuchadnezzar quite liked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So he again suggested them to bow down before the image of gold. It was a subtle but a strong pressure against them. The part where he says, "Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand," in particular, shows how he pressures them that I am the one who is in charge of your life and death, not your God. But the attitude that the three showed against the suggestion was strongly adamant. Let us look at Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused the king's suggestion without hesitation, because to them, this was a matter of faith, not politics. Faith is equal to the right choice and right determination. Today is a time where most people think fair is fair, and what majority chooses becomes the truth. And what is more beneficial or brings more joy became the main principle of making a choice, rather than what is right or true. However, someone who is truly wise is someone who does not forget that the result of choosing something against the word within God always ends up like a house of cards. Nebuchadnezzar, who was already furious when he heard that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down before the image of gold, felt unbearable now. So he changed his attitude towards them and ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. This means that the furnace was heated to its maximum temperature, and that no one can survive this furnace. This furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up the 3 men to the furnace. And so, the 3 men were thrown into the furnace. Just then, 3 bizarre things happened. First was that these 3 were thrown into the fire tied up. But inside the furnace, they stood unbound. Second was that the furnace was heated 7 times hotter than usual, but they walked around in the fire alive. Remember, the soldiers that threw them into the furnace burned to death. The third was the most bizarre. They were certain that they had thrown 3 men into the furnace, and there were 4 men walking around in the fire. The fourth looked like a son of the gods. This means that just as a kid of a rabbit is in the form of a rabbit, and a son of a man is in the form of a human, the son of God is in the form of God. Nebuchadnezzar got a hunch that this fourth man was the very reason why the 3 men were unbound and walking around alive in the furnace that was heated up 7 times the usual. So Nebuchadnezzar approached the opening of the furnace, called them the servants of the Most High God, and made a decree and promoted them in the province of Babylon. There is a Korean CCM song that starts out saying, "Even if you do not rescue us, we thank you, because we trust your will." This song was made based on the situation in which Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the furnace. We usually sing this song in joy, clapping our hands, but the lyrics are very determined. Each of the three friends were with great and absolute faith toward God, but the true reason why they were dauntless and were able to keep their faith even in the situation where they were thrown into the blazing furnace was probably because they were the spiritual facilitators to each other. Verse 12 of today's passage testifies as follows. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. The book of Luke tells us about Jesus praying more than any other gospels do. When Jesus was baptized in Jordan, when he selected the 12 apostles, when he met with Moses and Elijah on the mountain and talked about Jesus' death. All these stories were told in all of the synoptic gospels. In other words, the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But only the book of Luke tells us that Jesus prayed at that time. Also, Luke includes several teachings about the prayer of Jesus, which no other books wrote of. The parables, the friend at night, the unjust judge, and the Pharisee and the publican are all in the book of Luke only. The reason why Luke was able to write more diversely and in more detail about prayers than in other gospels is because Luke was a man of prayer. People often ask for a very clear guidance when they are in need for the guidance of God at an important crossroads of life. I also do the same. I remember that each time I ask for it, God has guided me in a way that I can understand. Now, at this time, when the threat of those who were against Jesus was growing, Jesus went up to a mountain to pray. This was a very important moment to the mission works of Jesus' public life. After this prayer, Jesus chooses 12 apostles who will be together with him during his public life, as well as continuing the mission of life after his death. Let us look at verse 13, which testifies as follows. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Jesus prayed in long and deep rhythm all through the night, and then called his followers, the disciples, to come near him. The Bible does not reveal how many disciples Jesus called upon initially. Out of the disciples, Jesus chose 12 men. And Jesus called them, the 12 men, the apostles. The word apostolos, meaning apostle, comes from the verb apostello, which means to move. And this word apostello was a verb that was used when dispatching someone with a special purpose, or those who were dispatched in place of someone who was supposed to be dispatched. Thus, the apostles were as good as the plenipotentiaries of Jesus. The reason why Jesus selected 12 men out of the disciples and called them apostles after praying overnight was as follows. Mark chapter 3, verse 14, he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Even before mentioning the reason that he is going to send them out to preach, Jesus said that he selected 12 apostles so that they might stay with him. Many people crowded up wherever Jesus went. Jesus was always considerate of them and had mercy on them, saying that they are like a flock of sheep without a shepherd. However, Jesus spent a lot of time to be with the 12 apostles that he appointed. He spent even more time with them as the time neared for his crucifixion. That is why the four Gospels write more about the public life than the stories before the public life, and more about the latter part than the former part of his public life. They especially concentrate on testifying Jesus' last week on this earth, and it seems as though Jesus uses up all his time with his 12 apostles. The 12 apostles that Jesus appointed after praying overnight are as follows, verses 14 to 16. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. There are two very distinct characteristics about these 12 apostles. First is that they are all very ordinary people. Not one of them had ever passed anything equivalent to the state exam that we had in the past. Not one of them were educated enough. Not one of them were from an extremely wealthy background either. Not one of them were educated enough as to earn a master's or doctor's degree either. After Jesus ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit came down to earth on the Pentecost, and the apostles spread the gospel, speaking in languages that they had not learned. People from various nations were puzzled when the things that apostles said sounded in their mother tongues. As a result, the number of believers increased by 3,000 to 5,000 each time. The Jewish authorities, including high priests and the Sadducees, threatened apostles Peter and John not to spread the name of Jesus. Then the two apostles made it clear that they will walk on the path to follow after the Lord, saying, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." At the time, the Judean authorities thought Peter and John strange, because in their eyes, the apostles were just ordinary people who were not enlightened, which made them wonder how they were able to speak so daringly. Ordinary people who were not enlightened was translated as unschooled ordinary men or uneducated and untrained men in the English Bibles. The people that Jesus chose and appointed were such people. The second biggest characteristic of the 12 apostles that Jesus appointed was that they were all very different from one another. Just to take two examples out of the 12 apostles, Matthew was a tax collector. At the time, tax collectors were even considered traitors of the nation. On the other hand, Simon was a zealot. Zealots were nationalists who were determined to assassinate all Romans and traitors. So they always carried a knife with them. Considering these facts, Matthew was probably number one on the assassination list for Simon. But in the Lord, they became one. The list of the 12 apostles of Jesus are written in the Synoptic Gospels, the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts. However, the order of the name is slightly different. These 12 apostles can be divided into three groups. The first group is consisted of Peter, his brother Andrew, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee. Among them, Peter's name comes out first, always. And then Andrew's name would appear next, or sometimes James's name would appear next. At times, Andrew's name would appear on the fourth. Out of these four, Peter can be deemed the representative or district leader to stay in our church's way among the group. The second group includes Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, and Thomas. Out of these four, Philip always appears first. Bartholomew would be introduced next, or sometimes Thomas. Thomas would sometimes be introduced last, or sometimes Matthew would appear last. Out of this group, Philip serves as a representative or the district leader. The third group consists of James, Alphaeus' son, Simon the Zealot, or the Canaanite, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot. Out of these four, James, the son of Alphaeus, comes out first, and Judas Iscariot comes out last all the time. Of course, Judas Iscariot left to go to where he belongs after selling off Jesus, so his name is not in the book of Acts. So out of these four, James, the son of Alphaeus, is a representative. Also, out of the three groups, the first group appears the most in the Gospels. They also appear many times in Acts as well. The second group appears a few times in the Gospels. However, out of the third group, excluding Judas Iscariot, the other members almost only appear by name without the mentioning of their whereabouts. Still, these 12 men were all the apostles that Jesus had appointed after his prayer, and all of them, not including Judas Iscariot, became the spiritual facilitators for each other and spread the words about the kingdom of God. Then, 2,000 years later, the gospel of God's kingdom has spread to us who live on the opposite side of the earth. One of the most frequently asked questions during the summer retreat Q&A sessions is that our 100th anniversary memorial church lacks its attributes as a community. So how can we reinforce it? Our church does not have a huge space that is usually called the main worship hall, and we divide it into different spaces for worship services. But having a huge worship hall where every church members can get inside does not mean that the communal attribute automatically becomes stronger. In order for us to become the members of a healthy community, we ourselves must first become healthy in spirit. If my inner person is not healthy, the community that I am part of may not become healthy because of me. The most basic and important thing to keep in order to make our inner selves healthy is that we must focus fully on our certain Sunday worship services. If we just go to Sunday worship services perfunctorily and are not able to experience the comfort, the guidance, and the mercy of God through the services, we will stay in the state where we are far from making our inner selves healthy. Keeping Sundays as a day of worship and as a day of the Lord is something we cannot compromise with. And the next step to becoming a member of a healthy community is to join small group meetings. For example, the district Bible study meetings of our church. If the introduction to the life of faith is shared through the Sunday worship services, then the details of life of faith is shared and applied through the district Bible studies. Also, if we are to learn to make worship our life through Sunday worship services, then we get to apply the life of worship through the district Bible study sessions. The Sunday worship services and the district Bible studies are like the two wheels that drive the church to become healthy. If we lack either of the two wheels, it will become very hard to pull the cart. One other thing is that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit where the Spirit lives in. Then, it can be said that it is mandatory for us to participate in Sunday worship services and the district Bible study sessions in order for our life of faith to become stronger. I urge you to join the district Bible studies when the new semester begins in September. I pray that you will join the meetings, share the words, and also share your lives as well. If you serve those who are weaker than you first and bear the duties as the lower branch faithfully, rather than wanting to be served, you will be able to experience the kingdom of God from within the district that you belong to. Also, another step to become a member of a healthy community is to participate in volunteer works. Something I never forget to mention about volunteering works when introducing about church on New Believers Welcoming Night is that volunteering is like bicycle pedals. It's not easy to keep up the pedaling, but in the end, it's all for my own good. The more you pedal, the more you proceed forward, and sometime later you will find yourself healthier. Clearly speaking, we do volunteer works for the Lord and to serve other people. But after some time, you will discover that the greatest beneficiary of volunteering was none other than yourself. My greatest volunteer works is serving our members through the words. At times, I fail to sleep until late at night, or even not be able to sleep at all in bed, while trying hard to make God's words sound as they are. Also, at times I am pressured due to hyperstress. It has been now 30 years since I have started my mission works, starting off as an education evangelist. I cannot deny that I am the greatest beneficiary of all those insomniac nights. I also cannot help but be grateful and touched by the fact that God uses me, who is lacking and weak. Among the people who walked together on the path of faith for the past days, those whom you will share fellowship for a very long time and deeply will be those who you shared words with and volunteered together with. since the words of the Lord are eternal, and the Lord is an eternal being. The fellowship with those you share the words of the Lord with and serve for the Lord together with cannot help but to go on for a long time and deeply. Furthermore, it will be very helpful to participate in several retreats, including the summer retreat. To summarize all the retreats and Bible schools, it can be said that they are like the Feast of the Word or a Feast of Fellowship. So the sense of community deepens. Jesus selected 12 people among the disciples, and through being with them, he made them the apostles who spread the words about the kingdom of God, and they have become spiritual facilitators to each other and became the pathway of the Lord to make the world anew. There are people who are better than us, smarter than us, and kinder than us. There are many of those, and yet Jesus, the Lord, has picked us. Let us pray. Jesus, after praying overnight in long and deep rhythm, chose 12 men out of all those disciples. Also, the Lord had stayed together with those apostles that he chose, spent a lot of time with them. So the apostles were able to live a life as an apostle by living the life that the Lord has lived and by obeying to the words of the Lord. Also, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego became spiritual facilitators for each other and were able to testify about their faith even before the blazing furnace. The apostles became spiritual facilitators for each other and were able to defy against the threats of the Judean authorities and were able to spread the words of the kingdom of God and were able to become the pathway of the Lord. Father God, you have called us out of so many people in this world to name us the people of the Lord and allowed us to enjoy the eternal life. We thank you for calling on us before others who are so much better and excellent beings than we are. Allow us to become the people of worship who give ourselves to God fully on Sundays. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.